It's 9:35 and the recording has been restarted. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes, we will now move on to the initial review of case 2408, Eric Mariachi, PT. That's Mindy.
Yes, it is. And Mr. Mariachi and his counsel, Sarah Stark, are present. The briefing is as follows. The board received an NPDB report that Mr. Mariachi, PT, was summarily suspended from clinical practice from his then employer on 6/30/23, quote, due to concerns of suspected misconduct that adversely affects or could adversely affect the health and welfare of a patient or staff member, end quote. The subsequent employer investigation, which was your Exhibit 2, documents that sexual harassment of a female coworker was substantiated and was witnessed by staff and or patients. The investigation also documented additional episodes of inappropriate behavior by Mr. Mariachi towards other coworkers, which included sexual references and which sometimes occurred in front of patients. Mr. Mariachi's response in the employer's report denied the allegations, and he waived his right to appeal the findings decision and then tendered his resignation on July 12th of 2023. The board reviewed this information at their April 2024 meeting and voted to open a case with the following potential allegations. ARS 32-2044-12, failing to adhere to the recognized standards of ethics of the physical therapy profession, including Principle 1, a physical therapist shall respect the rights and dignity of all individuals and shall provide compassionate care, and Principle 11, a physical therapist shall respect the rights, knowledge, and skill of colleagues and other healthcare professionals. Two of the witnesses interviewed in the board's investigation requested anonymity in this proceeding. They'll be referred to as Witness 1 and Witness 2, as outlined in the confidential investigative report. They have both told me, however, that they will not be participating in today's proceeding. The interviews completed for the board's investigation corroborated the findings in the employer's investigation and documents additional details for the board to consider in this matter. Mr. Mariachi denies all allegations in his written response and in his interview. He and his attorney did receive a copy of the draft investigative report and provided a supplemental response, which was included in your review materials as Exhibit 7A through 7, Exhibit 7 through 7D. This matter is for your review.
Great, thank you. Mr. Mariachi or Ms. Stark, do you have any opening comments?
Yes, thank you, Madam President. I'll just we submitted a supplemental response recently, and I just wanted to highlight a few things from that. So first off, as Ms. Richardson said, this arose out of a National Practitioner Data Bank report, not a board complaint. And when we last spoke, there was some confusion about what correspondence Mr. Mariachi had received at that point, and he had gotten a letter back in June of 2023, but we had not seen any additional correspondence, which apparently board members had access to a March letter that was outlining his right to due process and to appeal the employer's findings. So in reviewing the investigative materials that we received from the board, they sent this March letter outlining his appeal rights to Fort Huachuca, which, as you'll see in the report, he hadn't been there since the previous summer. So again, he never got any of this correspondence, which outlined his right to appeal the final employer decision or any of his rights to due process. And again, as a reminder, the initial action was a summary suspension pending the completion of the investigation, where he would have, you know, the right to appeal whatever the final decision was. Never got that. So in looking at what we received as part of this board investigation, you know, I just want to note there's a lot of inconsistencies in some of the statements. You know, the employer substantiated only two allegations from the whole process, we'll say. And, you know, notably, one of the allegations that was substantiated, there was apparently a third party witness that was there who was never interviewed, never included as part of this investigative report. So I think it's important to note that, you know, this report that the employer made seems to be lacking. Mr. Mariachi is aware that there were many other people and coworkers that were interviewed that were not included as part of the employer's report. And so, again, I think that's important to take into account, especially because he didn't actually get his notice and his right to appeal and pursue his due process after the final decision was made. In addition, we provided many, many reference letters from coworkers and patient reviews from his time there. And so, again, I just think that's important to take into account when you have some of these allegations. It's he said, she said, and then you have a voluminous amount of positive reports that were submitted on his behalf in contrast. So we are here to answer any questions the board members may have. And yeah, that's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? So, Mr. Mirarchi, can you tell me why you feel like the two witnesses made the complaints and how you feel your relationship with them was, your working relationship was with them was?
We had a good working relationship. I refer back to when I think of our time with soldiers on the field in the clinic, some of us that did spend time with one another outside of the clinic occasionally. I reflect on my, have seen text messages from one another and completely on both sides, just text of friends in real time that just demonstrate friendship, you know, relationship of good, clinicians in the clinic, as well as those of us that did spend some time together outside of the clinic. Again, in reflecting multiple times over all this time and the motivation for any, I guess, accusation, I'd say speculation. I don't know that, as I share with Mindy and even to the investigative individual on post, and where and why at a point in time friendship turned otherwise, I don't know. I you know, when we've joked about the things of bantering as siblings, but at the same time, it's the kind of thing where that's the simplest interaction, and yet being able to make a comfortable environment for ourselves and the patients, and know that we have each other's backs, you know, as a department that was very small.
Mm-hmm. One of the PTAs stated that they felt somewhat intimidated, didn't feel like they could tell you to maybe not keep making the same comments that you were making. Is there, can you talk about that at all? That?
Sure. One, the comments that just weren't made. And as far as, again, talking to me, personally, professionally, the individuals have spoken to me about personal matters or clinical matters concerning other therapist approach, and nothing that was bad, just gee, maybe I don't agree with, I don't know, even simply exercise X. However, hey, how do you think I should approach talking to them about that? And okay, well, maybe, you know, you just say in reference to this particular client, maybe it's not the best choice, or what do you think? Bounce it back as another, you know, interactive conversation with the clinician.
The two allegations that were substantiated, do you agree with them?
Agree with them? No, I do not.
Okay. What do you think the misunderstanding was?
I don't know. If I knew, I perhaps maybe we wouldn't have to be here today. But as far as the first one, I didn't say it, so I don't know how to formulate what would be the misunderstanding, other than if there's been a concern of, like I said, our friendship changing. And the only thing that really sticks out that didn't even come to my mind is after Lieutenant or Captain Walker committed suicide, it affected our entire group as a small group. But again, at the same time, I never was that an incident within myself or our peers, because we really did stand with one another when some people had not had, if you want to say, a first degree of separation, meaning that's the first time they really knew somebody, do that. And that was a rough experience, well, for everyone, but, you know, I think those that expressed, you know, you hear about it, but never experienced it, and that, I don't know if it would make a sensitivity regarding anything that was normally part of our interactions. Again, Kim, pardon me, did not.
She's witness one.
Witness one.
Yeah, excuse me. We didn't work together daily and hadn't mm-hmm. for about 6 months. So, you know, understanding what might be affecting one another was not the same as those that we were together with each day.
I have a question of, in terms of the two scenarios that came out in which they placed you on administrative leave twice. It seems to me after the first go-round of administrative leave for, I think it was a week, but that would have got your attention in terms of something's going on that I might need to address and change behavior. Now, I also appreciate that, from what I understand in your interview, is that your superior didn't let you know what was going on, and you didn't find out until, it sounds like almost 6 months, if I have that right, later of what was being said. So it seems like if I made a mistake, I'm just extrapolating, and I was told I made a mistake, then I could correct that behavior, but you weren't told what was wrong, what happened, but you were put on administrative leave. So if you can speak to that in terms of, you know, when you came back after that first administrative leave, was that December? How are things different to warrant a second administrative leave?
I was on eggshells, because I wasn't made aware of whom, coworker, patient. I wasn't specific in any, EO could be, lots of things. And I was not the director of the clinic. So I wasn't thinking about administrative types of interactions or writing the review for, a subordinate, but still the only thing I was told again that first week was of an EO complaint. Colonel Carmona sent me home for the week. I returned, and I had even spoken to Lieutenant Ahola about just that this would never happen. I'm very concerned. And so it was part of a daily interaction, but his assurance of, well, I haven't gotten any complaints. And again, we had not discussed anything verbally or written. And it did not come out, as you said, about certain things that I wasn't even aware of until after the investigation closed. So I think I try to just do what I did every day, in terms of our patients. I still had some outreach with the soldiers. That changed depending on the PCS cycle. That's when they come and, you know, leave post or come on to post. But yes, of course, it was deeply concerning. And, but day to day, you know, it was kind of bizarre. Like I'm sent home and then I come back and nobody's saying anything to me and everybody's the same and just trying to, okay, I guess I gotta just do what I normally do unless I'm being told otherwise, but I wasn't.
And then just to add to that, in terms of, you know, there was a suicide. There was also, of course, COVID. And then on top of that, sounds like your hours were potentially, and that's my next question, what was your work schedule at that point in time? as this was going on? Were you working crazy amount of hours? The time in COVID sounded like you were the only therapist that was covering. You were the only one that's kind of raise your hands and volunteer to cover. Is this a busy clinic? Are you seeing high volume patients? And whereas you're working with witness one and witness two and covering all of the soldiers?
Well, so yes, we unfortunately did not have tremendous staffing. You're talking about the long view. I mean, from the time of COVID and I went down to the MISC, the student clinic, once or twice a week to try and triage the students that were surgical or, you know, they had already been identified as this could be a problem. And obviously they weren't going to be, you know, PCSing in or out. And then the few folks that had been already on our caseloads that were surgical, I was seeing in the clinic. So that, you know, streamlining, I guess, towards the other parts of the outreach program, we just try to do our best. And the hardest part in, you don't want to turn anyone away, but if we're going to do justice to the treatments and given staff size and we're the only PT department for the whole base, and what they call a TRADOC. So lots of students, obviously lots of MSK injuries, I'm sorry, musculoskeletal. And we just did our best to treat, but not overwhelm, I guess you'd say, any of us, so that those that are already in can get good care, and did our best to minimize, new patients. Let's say, I can't remember what it was, but I know 30 days was starting to become one of those alarms. We try to find out, all right, well, having an additional percentage of patients waiting longer than 30 days to be seen. What can we do? And, coupled with the outreach I was doing. We could have some long hours, but between the field, the clinic, and the students, you know, I think we try to do our best to accommodate.
And in that time frame, did the Army offer counseling for all the things that were happening at that point in time? It sounds like crazy hours, a couple of suicide. All of those things have the potential for burnout and things like that.
They certainly made us aware if anyone, you know, not just our department, anyone that knew Isaac, needed or desired to, you know, seek counsel, most definitely it was available. And I think for those of us in the clinic, you know, talking to one another, and our daily routines from, you know, where Isaac was, that was a large amount of consolation to have one another to lean on. And we were very, very quiet about it. And based on what, I think they had to be an investigation initially. Once Colonel Carmon, Colonel Gray or Colonel Carmon, I'm sorry, that it was a long time before they had kind of let us know that everything was completed. And, you know, they were there for us as much as they could be, knowing that we worked with him, but please try to keep this, you know, to a minimum of discussion because of their investigating and make sure that, you know, they can rule it correctly and not, have anything else that they need to investigate. And I think our ability to lean on one another provided solace for us. And then invariably down the road as patients that knew Isaac, you know, we didn't want to say anything to anyone unless they knew, and therefore, okay, yes, we're doing okay. It was very kind to have a lot of soldiers, you know, check in on us, from losing one of our own.
Is there opportunity for training in boundaries and sexual harassment and things like that that you've participated in?
Yes.
Can you elaborate?
We have annual training that's just standard for the DoD, and I think it's heightened in the military. And so obviously civilians, along with the active duty, are, you know, we're required to participate, and we'll have other in services. Some of them, I was explaining to Mindy, are online. Some are in person, where we have to go to, a small group. I mean, not the whole RBOC is invited at one time. Clearly that would shut down operations, but yeah, it's a very prescient topic. It is absolutely an annual and then some training in our setting.
Is it annual? Did you just say that?
Okay. Correct. Yes.
Any other questions?
Mr. Murarchy, there was a complaint by one of the PTAs about a comment that was made about in front of a female patient that the PTA was watching porn over the holidays, and some more was said regarding that. And I guess they confronted you about it, and you did confirm that you did make the statement, but it was taken the wrong way. Can you explain, is it your understanding that making a comment like that is appropriate regardless of what you were meaning behind it?
No, I don't think that's appropriate. And as I share with Mindy, I was not confronted, and Lieutenant Ahola asked me to talk to him. And he asked me that someone said this, and can I please tell him what happened? And as I explained to Mindy, a patient was expressing something to me in an effect of blah, 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 like you don't talk about money, sex, religion, or politics in public or something to that extent. And that was what was the discussion, or at least the part that was overheard and misconstrued, because I don't know what I said in his response or pardon me, to the patient in terms of, don't forget to not discuss money and politics or sex and religion or something of those four areas that is a very, common topic of don't discuss. And that was what the context was. And I explained this to Lieutenant Ahola. But I was not aware of from whom, because my patient was just doing their particular routine or, having their session. And then, I was not made aware about the PTA until 6 months later.
Okay. Another thing that I read in the report was that they said that there were several patients that requested not to work with you anymore, but you were not made aware of that. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was never made aware of anybody, and for any reason, not wishing to work with me. And I can only reference my ICE comments from soldiers and folks alike over the entire time there. I enlisted officer, male, female, I'm honored and humbled when someone reflects back on your worker interaction in a good way. And so, I was never made aware of anybody for any reason.
Okay. Thank you.
And along those lines, if I remember correctly, your supervisor could not state who those patients were that when you asked. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you were told that patients had rescheduled, but they didn't provide any names of those patients or any incidents of examples.
Correct.
OK. Okay. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Any other questions? Would you like to make any closing comments, Ms. Stark, or?
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. I do want to highlight again, so the I'm calling it the second substantiated, in quotes, allegation about the button. I just wanted to highlight that there's clearly in the narrative a third party witness that was allegedly involved. And again, there's no mention of this person being interviewed, corroborating any of these events. So I just wanted to highlight that because I feel like that's significant that, you know, it's documented here that there was another person, a sergeant there, when this alleged interaction occurred, and nobody's interviewed him. He's not in the report anywhere. So there's no indication whether he's corroborating this or she. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but anyway, so I just wanted to note that too.
Thank you. So what are everyone's thoughts?
Are we going to get any more information?
What information are you looking for, Mr. Greer?
Well, if we set this for an informal hearing and had and put everyone under oath, is anyone else going to show up?
I can probably, so Captain Ahola, who is the supervisor of the department, he's PCS'd, I think, to Texas, but he is available. I can get a hold of, it depends on, there were a couple of witnesses that have PCS. I suppose I could, try and track them down. The PT that I interviewed, Ms. Osborne, she would probably, participate. I didn't ask her at the time, if she would be willing to be under oath. But she was also a witness. That's referenced in the report. The Army, however, has stated to me that we will not be able to get an unredacted report. They have a regulation that precludes that. So I had to marry up the witness statements with what I saw in the report. So I may be able to find some other witnesses that were working there at the time. And I know that Mr. Murarkey had provided one additional staff member, Mr. Norton. I think is it Jay Norton?
He.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we could probably provide some other witnesses.
Thank you.
But witness one and two are very reluctant. You know, Sierra Vista is a very small community. Their role, I think they'll be easily identified. They said in no uncertain terms, they were, you know, as stated in the report, they have fear of retaliation. I don't know if Mr. Murarkey is planning to go back to Sierra Vista and work. I know he still has a home there. So I don't know. I don't know if they'll participate or not.
Thank you.
I think there was also an athletic trainer that was in the area as well.
I'm sorry?
I think there was also an athletic trainer that was
yes,
in the area as well. And yeah, potentially that person might be able to provide any info.
Yeah, he still works there.
Is it your thought, Mr. Greer, to move this to an informal hearing?
It just, I don't know how to resolve it here at an initial review any other way. But if there's not going to be any other evidence, then, you know, we can try. But if there is, then my thought would be to send it to an additional informal hearing.
I think we have a lot of he said, she said, and the comments that were that potentially he said and or did are really bad. But I'm interested in terms of the response that the superiors had. I was in the Air Force. I know what that's like. It's a different world in the service, even if you're a contractor. It does seem like that was not handled very well.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a certain level of anonymity that's provided to somebody that is claiming sexual harassment up to a point. If I understood from Captain Ahola that was the reason that Mr. Meraki was not given the details on the first go round, and it wasn't until witness one decided that she would, I think, report to CID, if I'm not mistaken. So there was a reason why he wasn't given the details on that first memorandum for the record. That was the first report. But I would have to get more details from Captain Ahola on that. And in his interview, he said he had planned to do some counseling, but by that time, Mr. Meraki had been placed on administrative leave the second time. And that's when the second SHARP report was filed by this witness too.
I guess in my mind, it feels like something happened. I don't know on the spectrum where it kind of falls in the harassment, you know, category. But I also feel like, you know, Mr. Meraki hasn't been given all of the information either. So it's really hard to do something like right now. So I guess I'm going to move that we move this to an informal hearing with the hopes of getting additional witnesses of his superiors and or witness one and two to consider participating.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Was that Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Thank you.
If there's no further discussion, I think we're ready, Judy.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that Mr. Barton rejoined the meeting at 9:47. So it's been moved and seconded to invite Mr. Meraki PT to an informal hearing. Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton. You're muted.
I will abstain because I didn't hear all of the discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. How about we take a short comfort break and resume in, I don't know, 5-10 minutes? Anybody have a time? 10 minutes.
That's fine. So the board will go into a short recess. It is 10:10 right now. The recording will stop. The board will return at 10:20. Thank you, everybody.